This is Bible Basics. This is Study 2, the Spirit of God. This is Section 2.1, God's Spirit. As God is a real personal being with feelings and emotions, it's to be expected that he will have some way of sharing his desires and feelings with us, his children, and of acting in our lives in a way that will be consistent with his character. God does all of these things by his Spirit. If we wish to know God and have an active relationship with him, we need to know what this Spirit of God is and how it operates. It isn't easy to define exactly what the word Spirit means. If you went to a wedding, for example, you might comment there was a really good spirit there. And by this, you mean that the atmosphere was good. Somehow, everything about the wedding was good. Everyone was smartly dressed, the food was nice, the people spoke kindly to each other, the bride looked beautiful. All the various things that make up the spirit of the wedding. Likewise, the Spirit of God somehow summarizes everything about him. The Hebrew word translated spirit in the Old Testament strictly means breath or power. Thus, God's spirit is his breathing, the very essence of God reflecting his mind. We'll give some examples of how the word spirit is used about someone's mind or disposition in Study 4, Part 3. And the Spirit does not just refer to the naked power of God, it's evident from Romans 15, where it talks of the power of the Spirit of God. The common Bible teaching that how a man thinks is expressed in his actions. A little reflection on our own actions will confirm this. We think of something, and then we do it. Our spirit or mind may reflect upon the fact that we are hungry and desire food. We see a banana going down the kitchen. That desire of the spirit is then translated into action. We reach out for the banana, peel it, and eat it. And this simple example shows why the Hebrew word for spirit means both the breath or mind and also power. Our spirit, the essential force, refers to our thoughts and therefore also to the actions which we take to express those thoughts or disposition within us. On a far more glorious scale, God's spirit is the same. It's the power by which he displays his essential being, his disposition and purpose. God thinks and therefore does things. As I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purpose, so shall it stand. Isaiah 14, verse 24. The power of God. Many passages clearly identify God's spirit with his power. In order to create the earth, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3. God's Spirit was the power by which all things, for example, light, were made. By his Spirit, he has created the heavens. His hand has formed a crooked serpent, Job 26:13. A comparison of Matthew 12:28 and Luke 11:20 shows that the finger of God and the Spirit of God are parallel. God in action is his Spirit. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth, Psalm 33, verse 6. God's Spirit is therefore described as follows: his breath, his word, his finger, his hand. It's therefore his power by which he achieves all things. For example, believers are born again by God's will, Psalm 113, which is by his Spirit, Psalm 3:5. His will is put into operation by the Spirit. Speaking of the entire natural creation, we read, "You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and thereby you renew the face of the earth." Psalm 104, verse 30. This Spirit power is also the sustainer of all things, as well as the means of their creation. It's easy to think this tragic life stumbles on without its active input, without the active input of God's Spirit. Job, a man who had become weary of this life, was reminded of this by another prophet. "If he, God, gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust." Job 34:14-15. When pouring out of a similar trough of depression, David asked God to continue to uphold him with his spirit, that is to preserve his life. Psalm 51, verse 12. We shall see in 34, part 3, that the Spirit given to us of all creation is what sustains our life. We have the breath of the Spirit of life within us, Genesis 7:22, given to us by God at birth, Psalm 104, verse 30, Genesis 2, verse 7. This makes him the God of the spirits of all flesh, Numbers 27:16, and compare Hebrews 12, verse 9. Because God is the life force which sustains all creation, His Spirit is present everywhere. David recognized that through His Spirit, God was constantly present with him wherever he went. And through that Spirit's power, he was able to know every corner of David's mind and thinking. Thus, God's Spirit is the means by which he is present everywhere, although he is personally located in heaven. You know my sitting down and standing up. You understand my thoughts are far off. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your right hand, through the Spirit, shall hold me. Psalm 139, various verses. A proper understanding of this subject reveals God to us as a powerful, active being. Many people have grown up with a vague belief in God, but in reality, God is just a concept in their mind, a black box in part of the brain, an understanding of the true God and His very real presence all around us by His Spirit can totally change our context of life. We're surrounded by the Spirit, constantly witnessing His actions, which reveal God to us. David found the encouragement of all this absolutely mind-blowing. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Psalm 139, verse 6. Yet responsibilities come with such knowledge. We have to accept that our thinking and actions are totally open to God's view as we examine our position before Him. Especially when thinking about baptism, we need to bear this in mind. God's majestic words to Jeremiah apply to us too. Can I hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill by my Spirit heaven and earth? Jeremiah 23:24. The Holy Spirit. Within the God's Spirit is a vast concept to grasp. It's His mind and His position, but also the power by which He puts His thoughts into operation. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And so God is His thoughts. In that sense, He is His Spirit. John 4:24. Although this doesn't mean that God is not personal. To help us grapple with the vastness of God's Spirit, we sometimes read of His Holy Spirit. The phrase Holy Spirit is to be found almost exclusively in the New Testament. In the Authorized Version, the name Holy Ghost is often used, but it should always be translated as Holy Spirit, as modern versions make clear. It's equivalent to the Old Testament phrase, the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the Lord. This is taken from passages such as Acts 2, which records the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Peter explains that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, in which it is described as the pouring out of my Spirit, God's Spirit, Acts 2:17. The main fulfillment of this will be when Jesus returns. Isaiah 32:15-16. Again, Luke 4:1 records that Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan. Later in the same chapter, Jesus links this with Isaiah 61, when he quotes, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." In both cases, and in many others, the Holy Spirit is equated with the Old Testament term, the Spirit of God. Notice too, how the Holy Spirit is parallel with the power of God in the following passages. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Luke 1:5. The power of the Holy Spirit, mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Romans 15:13-19. Our gospel, preaching, came in power and in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. the promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples was spoken of as their being endued with power from on high, Luke 24:49. Jesus himself had been anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, Acts 10:38. The promise of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:5, is defined as power from on high in Luke 24:49. Hence the disciples received power after the Holy Spirit came upon them, Acts 1:8. Paul could back up his preaching with undeniable displays of God's power. My speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, 1 Corinthians 2:4.